Before the children go off to children's church, if we could, I would like to recognize those who have served by teaching either children's Bible class on Sunday or Wednesday, or children's church on Sunday. If you've done that in the past year, would you stand? Let's give these folks a hand. That is an important service at this church, and we'll go ahead, if they are having children's church today, let them go ahead and be dismissed. I'm just really touched by how this church has been rising to the occasion and serving as a family. Yesterday, Grace, our new graduate student, who's not here today, they're on vacation, three or four people showed up. One with zucchini bread and water. And I don't think that three of these people had met Grace to date. They all showed up, and what a wonderful testament, introduction to this church family by doing that. Earlier on this week, there was an individual that had surgery, and she's an important part of this church, and I think her surgery went well. But there were people that gathered, built ramps, so that she could get up to the house with a foot injury and a wheelchair, prayed with her, surrounded her. Those are the sorts of things that glorify God. And that's what family is all about. And I got to say, how about the singing? I just feel like it's good to encourage. And there's a lot of things that should be encouraged. And so I think that we need to keep on being family. That is what is contagious. And that is what people want to be a part of. As we serve others and serve God, people are going to want to be a part of that. That is contagious. I want to share one more thing with you before we launch into the sermon. And I want to kind of give some direction to where I'd like to take us in the next month and the months beyond. One of the definitions in seminary that stuck with me about evangelism is one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. Wow. One beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. We might get it in our heads sometimes that the message of Jesus is there's something lacking in it. That's not true. This is the life-giving bread that people need. And when you have the boldness to share that with other people, you go ahead and you recognize that that is the living bread that people don't have. You have something that they need. And in our communities, whether that be around the building or your community, your family, your friends, your network, the area where you live, the area where you go to work, your family, that's our community. Let's remember that we have a life-giving bread. And not forget that we are beggars that have found bread and we want other people to be able to find it. I want to share one more story with you before we proceed. Yesterday, I was vacuuming out our car. I took it to vacuum it out where they have like the little lines, you know, of different vacuums where some of them will be detached, you know, or where you put the quarter in and it comes right back out. You go put it back in again. Because you got to put it in slowly. Anyway, I was vacuuming my car, and I saw this gentleman. His wife was vacuuming their car, but he was just standing in the grass in front. And I said, you know, you get those urges sometimes that sometimes you shut it down. You're like, go share the gospel, or something will be on your heart. And sometimes I shut that out. But yesterday I decided, well, I'm just going to go do that. And I thought that the guy, you never know, you always assume that people are going to be hostile to you or something. And I said, how you doing, man? He said, I'm doing good. I said, has anybody ever shared with you the message of Jesus? And he said, no. And I said, would you like to hear it? Thinking that he would say no. But he said, yeah, I'd like to hear it. And so I shared with him. Turned out he had some beliefs that I think could have been a little deeper. He didn't believe that the Bible was truly reliable, but he believed that Jesus died for his sins. And so my question for him was, well, where did you get that information? If you don't trust the Bible, that's the only place that I know that really conveys that information. And so we didn't have an in-depth conversation, but I had a conversation with him, and we wound up talking a little bit about church stuff. All that to say, not everybody is going to be hostile to the gospel. And when I left this man, I said, I want to thank you because you encouraged me, because you received me in an encouraging way. And how many people might there be if the Spirit prompts you to follow through on that? There are people that are receptive. There are people that will be hostile, but there are people that are receptive. And I just want to encourage all of us to be on the lookout, to take into consideration some of the things that Kevin has taught us in that evangelism class, and just allow God to use you despite your fear to share the gospel with the people in your lives, your family members, sometimes people that you come into contact with. There's going to be fruit that is born. Sometimes a seed is just planted from you sharing, and someone else will follow through on the seed. But you never know what God is going to do with willing hearts. And so I just say that to share with you. One more thing before we launch into the sermon. I know there keeps being just this series of things, but I can do that because I know for a fact that the sermon today will be shorter. Some sermons are shorter, some sermons are like Paul's. They're long. Long to the point where a young man can fall asleep, fall down out of the window, die. Paul, stop the sermon, go down and get him, resurrect him, go back upstairs, and keep on preaching. I've changed the sermon schedule somewhat, so that's why I want to say this now. As preparation for some of you that may have teenagers or children that you may or may not want exposed to this, but I'm going to go into a series called Tough Topics, which is an extension of our accountability series. So, Karen, are you okay? Okay, just want to make sure. An extension of our accountability series. And so next week, I'm going to talk about lust, wanting the wrong thing. And I'm going to get into some different areas like websites and things like that. And I just want to prepare for that. Thank you, Sharon. So one sermon about lust, and then the following sermon is going to be about spiritual laziness, being revitalized. And then after that, I want to speak about gluttony on the 31st. All of us eat on a regular basis, and our relationship with food, I think, is a good thing. So I'm going to talk about that. How many of you feel like perhaps there's been a foundation laid for accountability, but you would like a little bit more information about how to go forward? If that is the case, I would like to have an abbreviated sermon either at the end of the month or at the beginning of next month to flesh out and hear and respond to any questions. How do we get these groups started? What do we use to keep them going? Who's going to lead the groups? And any other questions? So I want to give some skeletal, build a skeleton on the foundation if there are any questions about that. All right. This is the sermon today. You can find it on page 936. 936 and following, this is going to be the sermon for today. We just finished the Sermon on the Mount, and I'm going to just read the words of Jesus, and that's going to be the extent of the sermon today. 9:36 in your pew Bibles, if you'd like to follow along. Before we do that, let's just have a little bit of prayer time. Father God, we uplift any distressing situation right now to you. And we ask that hands would be tending to the situation and that you would be working, that you would provide whatever assistance may be needed to ensure the health of our congregants here. that you might preserve and see to it that a ready remedy is reached through various hands. We uplift this situation to you and any other situations that are going on here. And we ask it all in the name of Jesus the Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, 'You shall not murder,' and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, 'Raca,' is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, 'You fool,' will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still together on the way, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. Truly I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, makes her the victim of adultery. And anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. You have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority, and not as their teachers of the law. When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. How well are we following the words of Jesus today? Where does he challenge you? Notice he often said, when you fast, when you pray, presupposing that there's an expectation that we will fast, that we will pray, that we will be this way. Jesus is the only one that perfectly embodies this, but we are called to follow him. How is Jesus and his words, those powerful words of Jesus, how are they calling you to deeper fellowship, to a deep relationship, to deep repentance, to confession, to praise? I'll let the words of Jesus and the power of the Spirit that is present in them do all the convicting. But as we reflect on those words and on our lives, why don't you respond? Why don't we respond in whatever way, including if it's to give your life to this Jesus in baptism and repentance and confession? But as we sing this song and reflect on the words of Jesus, if you have a need, why don't you come and share it, and we can pray with you and support you in whatever way. As we stand together, please, if you can do so, and sing the song led by Tom.